three, two, one.
Big Orange fans, you watched every minute. You showed your orange, but you're just getting started. Because it's time for the best post-game fan show in college basketball. It's time for the Smart Way Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The place where the Big Orange Universe from all around the world gathers to talk about tonight's game. Unfiltered, uncensored, and wholeheartedly unapologetic. Get on the line with us right now. 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Basketball Vols, we're getting used to this.
Basketball Talk!
We're getting used to this.
Basketball Jones, oh baby, oh yo. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball Jones. Ever since I was a little baby, I always been dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball, and I love that basketball.
Feed me more. Ezekiel Elliott. Feed me more. Atlanta Falcons of 2010. Hey, if a 2010 member of the Falcons is listening, you can drop your leftover stash off with me tonight. Tennessee wins tonight for the second straight game. Now, we might have saw that coming, right? They led wire to wire for the second straight game. I mean, beat the hell out of that team. Bruce Pearl takes his first TV timeout, and they got him mic'd, you know, and that's all fine and well and good, unless your team throws up a stinker like that and the people are going, what are we paying you for? He says to his team, guys, they have 8 offensive rebounds already. We're at the first TV timeout. What the hell are you people doing? It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. I mean, it was so bad. It was just so hilarious. One thing about Tennessee, and I don't know if we're like the most talented team in the world, but I'm writing some stuff for the blog tomorrow. It's ironic that this happened to Pearl tonight in his building. Because Pearl's first couple teams, nobody played harder. That was their hallmark. And he saw that tonight. It was turn back the clock night for him. It was turn back the clock night. Hey, give me the team that gets the 50-50 balls, and give me the team that gets the rebounds, and I'll beat the hell out of you most nights. Now, on paper, we shouldn't be able to do that to these teams on paper. But college basketball is a game played between the lines. Tennessee's on a roll right now, and that's really fun to see. Look. When you have Bone out there and the shot clock's winding down and he knows it and throws about 23-footer and it goes in, that is so emblematic. It's just going right. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. And you know what? You could make the case that Tennessee didn't handle the last several minutes, but I'm not going to be nitpicky with this bunch. I'm just not. I'm going to enjoy this as I bring Mark Griffin in now along with Keith Hatfield. And fellas, let's keep this going, man. By the way, I gave Tony Jones, Tony, get some rest, babe. Get some rest. He needs to get some rest. I don't want to get him in the middle of this tonight. Guys, I'm thrilled to have Tony Jones on here. And I love TJ. I told TJ, I said, I don't want to drag you in the middle of this tonight. We're going to celebrate this victory and have some fun with it. And Tony has a affinity for Coach Jones, who started him in the business, and just get him in the middle of all this stuff. And this game tonight, guys, was quite a win. Quite a statement for the Volunteers to go on the road and win like that. Keith or Mark, whoever wants to jump in here, go for it.
Well, Tony, I thought it was just a simple. I mean, the game essentially is the first 15 minutes tonight. Tennessee came out,
yep.
And in Coach Pearl's own words,
yep.
They hit first.
Yep.
Tennessee was all over them, and I mean, you know, Tony, our little group back and forth. You know, it's the Kevin O'Neill, Bob Huggins influence in me. If we had followed the scouting report and hadn't gone under screens on Jared Harper, Tennessee's up 25 at halftime.
That is so true. That's a hell of a...
I mean, they would have absolutely beaten them senseless in the first half.
That little water bug there, he single-handedly keeps them in it. He's like 5'10", 165 pounds, and single-handedly kept them in the game.
And Tony, and this isn't going to be one of my rants about recruiting services, but he's probably about the lowest... He's one of the lower-rated guys that Bruce has signed since he's been there.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think he's a guy, if memory serves me correctly, I think Tony told me he had to beg Bruce basically to take that kid. And if he's not on the floor, they're getting killed.
Yeah. Now, I will say one thing. The Purifoy kid is obviously not healthy again yet. Because he's a really, really good player, and he's scored, I think, now like 10 points in 4 games. He's obviously nowhere near back to where he was earlier. I mean, he was a monster against, I think it was UConn and Oklahoma earlier in the non-conference.
But that was a big... That was a startling kill job tonight, though, Keith. I mean, that was a kill. Auburn thought they were going to bring that type of energy at Tennessee. You know they did. And yep. They got kill-shotted early in the game. They just got kill-shot.
Well, if you look at it, Tony, one thing that's happened, you remember how much trouble Billy Gillespie gave Bruce? I think you're seeing Rick Barnes doing that because they've now played 4 times. Tennessee, but for going about, what was it, 1 of 21 from 3, would be 4-0, and the 3 Tennessee wins have been, since we're on the app only, to borrow from Stone Cold Steve Austin, ass whoopings.
Well, and the bottom line is, people are saying, oh, it was single digits with a couple minutes left. Mark Griffin, they were watching a different game than I was. Tennessee led wire to wire and blew that team out, and that's what that was. Let's call that what it was, Mark. Tennessee blew that team out.
Blew them out in all phases of the game, and just to add concerning Harper, why didn't he play the second half as much? I mean, the guy was so hot the first half at 18 points.
Yep.
Hardly played the second half.
Wow. Somebody's telling me here we've trailed a total of 7 minutes in the last 4 games, guys. I mean, this team is so fun to watch. They are so fun to watch. And they just are so kind of out of nowhere. And this is just... I mean, I'm just going to enjoy this. It's so fun to have college basketball back. It's been so long since we've had college basketball here. It is so fun to have it back. And I'm going to tell you something. I really feel like with today's game that college basketball is back. I feel like this was what I needed to see tonight. That the Vols go on the road and do what they did this evening makes me feel like it is back. As Kentucky and Georgia are heading to overtime, a shot clanks off the iron there.
That Malik Monk is something else.
That ball almost went in.
Yeah, I mean, Monk is just something else.
That shot he just made to tie the game. I mean, he is just so gifted. But guys, back to our game. Mark, what was the most startling surprise to you about what we saw tonight?
Biggest surprise for me was able to take out their inside game at all. Now, Wiley is going to be a good player. He's young. But they had no inside presence whatsoever against Tennessee, nor did they have a 4-man out there that I could even see that was a player.
Yep.
Their basketball style tonight, to me, was more street ball. Now, it surprises me if you didn't know that Coach Pearl's on the side, that this team just was discombobulated tonight against Tennessee. Now, give Tennessee credit with their stout defense, but I didn't see Auburn make more than 3 passes in 1 offensive possession the entire game.
There's no doubt about that. You know, I saw a team, I got him, thanks. I saw a team tonight in Auburn that looked out of answers at that first TV timeout. Bruce was like, hey guys, we're still in this game. I mean, we should be getting killed. Anytime your coach is talking like that to you, and we're still in striking distance. And then they go out, Keith, and it's like a 15-1 Tennessee run. And that is over, man.
Well, I think one thing that Bruce has got a problem with right now, and it's something that, I mean, you look at his teams the last couple of years, his first couple of years. I mean, if you break that down just individually with some of the guys that have gone through there, I mean, he had the nation's leading returning scorer. I mean, he's run through some guys there. The thing is, he's got a bunch of guys who are all used to being the first option, and you watch them, like Mark said, the ball's not moving. It's everybody. Hey, I'm going to get mine.
Yep. And that's one thing, guys, in the midst of this stretch that I have not seen from Tennessee. I haven't seen an iota of that. I haven't seen anything selfish. Go ahead.
Well, because when you do, you've seen what happens when guys take a stretch where they go one-on-one for a couple of possessions. They come sit.
It's really true. And I got to say this. I mean, you look, I got on Barnes in the summer for the recruiting. They're doing a hell of a job with this team, as we said the whole time. But you just got to keep saying it. I mean, when you come out like that, that focused, look, I know people are saying, well, we didn't finish well last 10 minutes, blah, blah, blah. Hey, look, you're playing on the road, and you have a young team, and you got to get used to winning those games on the road. So I give them some grace for that. That was a really blow my mind impressive performance we just saw. We're getting ready to go to the phones. But that was an impressive, impressive basketball game. Impressive basketball game.
With no letdown after the three games at home.
No.
I actually think they played better tonight than they did Saturday.
I agree with that. I mean, I thought Saturday was their best game of the year, and I think tonight was a damn statement.
They were fantastic tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, and the thing is, how often in college basketball do you see somebody go on the road and just gut somebody?
Exactly.
You don't see a lot in a competitive conference. Nope. I mean, unless you got Kentucky at Missouri.
Nope.
Or something like that. You're not going to beat somebody's brains on the floor all night on the road. They're going to stand up and at least show a little bit of pride at some point. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, if people want to complain about the last 10 minutes, that's fine. I'll be more concerned about the first 30.
I'll tell you this right now. Mississippi State laid a freaking egg tonight. I don't know if you guys saw the result that they had, but they got...
Oh, they got hammered.
Whew.
But that just means Tennessee's walking into a complete hornet's nest Saturday now.
Take them one at a time. I'm thrilled. I said Saturday, guys, and I think we all agreed, we take a split in these two. Split in these two, and you come back alive. You win both of them, you can start thinking about what seed you are when you wake up on Monday, because you're in the tournament. You're officially in the tournament. You get a split, and you put yourself in the conversation. But I'm not, in my mind, I'm not going to, what's the word? I'm just not going to go there yet. I'm not going to go there just yet.
I'm not going to worry about this team's, the only thing I'm worried about is this team getting enough wins. They've got a winning record. I'm not going to worry about anything else regarding the postseason at all.
I agree with that. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Kentucky stretched it out on Georgia. 81-76. Fox's guys are having a pretty good year.
Did anybody lose more close games, though, in the league than he has since he got there?
And
they lose four or five of these every year.
That A&M loss beats everything I've ever seen.
The only team I can remember them beating in close games the whole time that he's been there is Tennessee a couple of times to keep us out of the tournament and South Carolina to keep us out of the tournament last year.
It's a shame. Griff, what else from tonight's game?
Close games.
Before we go to the numbers, Griff, and then go to the phones on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee basketball overtime. What else stood out to you about tonight's game, Griff, before we go to the numbers?
Well, once again, just the tenacity on defense. And another thing that's really a small detail, but I was real impressed with the efficient passing of moving a ball movement through their offense, their motion offense. You didn't see any soft passes. I know that's minor, but it's one of the things that they definitely work on in practice and definitely did a good job tonight with ball movement. Not a lot of guys standing around, like
Agreed.
He said that Auburn guys were standing around, but Tennessee just was able to move the ball like they wanted. They had a lot of turnovers there towards the end. One of my concerns that future opponents are going to scout Tennessee, they're going to play more full court pressure.
Absolutely.
Because Tennessee struggled to get the ball in, and it was gut-wrenching to watch Tennessee take the ball out towards the end of the game. Now, they'll work on that more in practice, but those are the few things that stood out to me over the course of the evening.
You know, I've thought the whole time, I said it to Sonny Smith today, the team that pressures Tennessee is a team that's going to be successful, because we know that's their Achilles heel. But I wonder if any of these other staff scout. Now, I do think Auburn wanted to do that tonight, but you know what happened? Auburn couldn't make baskets.
Can't press off misses.
You can't press off stupid. I mean, when you look at what Auburn did tonight, not only were they bad, they were stupid bad. And that game at times, and I think Tennessee was happy to see this happen, but it devolved into kind of up and down summer basketball there at times. Boy, Georgia just had a really nice possession. Goodness gracious. Boy, they have a nice team. Wow.
I don't know how they're 13-8. Other than they did a lot, Fox did a lot what Barnes did, and he probably overscheduled his team.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to have a few wins right now. Let's go to the phones. 865-200. I'd like to have a few Crip games back from December, and I know we have got a real high RPI, but if at the end of the year we're sitting there with 17 wins and they take somebody with 22, because the committee is an ever-changing deal. I mean, they got a floating constitution. These are not conservatives, okay? These folks are making it up as they go along as far as their constitution goes, and that's what scares me. Let's go to the phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. I've got an hour for you tonight. Why? Because tomorrow we're doing 4 hours on our signing day spectacular presented by our friends at Smoothie King. We're going to be out at Calhoun's, Kingston Pike, Pellissippi Parkway from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. I hope you'll come join us. I talked with a couple of VFLs tonight. I said, fellas, you're invited. Bring your ladies. They're invited. And Malik Monk is a madman. I'm coveting, as a Sixer fan, Griff, I'm coveting Malik Monk. Is that okay?
Sure, because he's something else, man. He's willed this team so far a lead and maybe a victory here. So, unbelievable player. One of the best players I've seen this year.
He's crazy. Let's go back to the phones. I love scorers. I love music. I love life. I love ice on my back. Let's get our first call in. Hello and welcome in.
Guys, it's Smitty. What's going on?
Smitty, what's up, brother?
Hey, Keith, I know you're loving this as much as I am right now. I think that Bruce is definitely missing Jason Shea and Steve Forbes, by all means. I mean, that coaching staff he has is horrendous, who he has. It's terrible.
Yeah, he didn't look like he was getting much help over there, Keith, tonight, did he?
No. And with the staff he's assembled there, he's not going to get much help. And I mean, that's one of those things. And he's also missing Chris Lofton and Juwan Smith. Look, everybody knows what I think of Bruce Pearl. That's not going to change. I've thought the same thing I've thought about him for going on 30 years now. That's not going to change. But the bottom line is, everyone acting that they're surprised this hasn't worked that well for him at Auburn. He was a fluke Melvin Goins game from going one and out in the last three NCAA tournaments when he was here. With Austin and Harris and those guys.
I'll never forget the first 3 years. I've never seen anything like it. It was the greatest show on turf, and I'll forever be indebted to him, but that's just me.
I kind of agree with Keith. I think his first 3 years were impressive, and it kind of just he plateaued a little bit. But anyway, I give a lot of credit to, I know he's getting Robert Hugg, you know, Bob has been a mystery man for his first 3 years. Now, I think he's proven that he's a scorer, and when he's not a scorer, he's a defender. I think tonight he did a great job, defending those guys, down low. He didn't have a great shooting tonight, but He wasn't selfish, you know. He's giving the ball up. Kind of knew that he wasn't having a good night. This is an all around great game. We dominated this game. Like he said, it would have been a 25-point game in the first half if it weren't for that guy from Auburn having had 5 3-pointers. I mean, this is an incredible game by the guys tonight. This was if Vegas had this line at even. As a matter of fact, they had Auburn favored. Earlier this morning. I mean, that's
yep.
you know, there's a reason for that stuff. Rick Barnes continued to do well out of timeouts, and I think that this team is, you know, I think this weekend is going to be tough. I think Keith nailed it right on the head with Mississippi State. You know, having lost these games in a row, they're going to come out hot in this game at home, try to get everything back. But I think our defense is extremely locked down. I think that really the only player that needs to improve is Lamonte Turner. He's had a couple rough games here in a row, and you know, I think outside of that, I think we're looking pretty good. I mean, I really like what we're doing, and I mean, and I don't want to, you know, hold the phone lines, but I mean, it really doesn't matter to me this season. I mean, if we have 17 wins or 18 wins, I'll tell you what, that is way more than I expected. I'll be pleased with anything like that. I mean, I'm so pumped for these guys. They deserve everything right now.
No question. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. And that's a great point. These kids deserve everything that's happened to them to this point because they are really playing their asses off. Gentlemen.
Oh, and Tony, one thing you and I discussed years ago when Tennessee, it would have been Bruce's third year,
yep,
when they were in that challenge up in Newark when they played West Virginia the first night and they get blown out by Texas the second night. Talking to a couple of NBA scouts I know, that was kind of a transition of Bruce's team too. Bradshaw was gone, replaced by Tyler Smith, who was much more highly rated. And they said, look, Bruce's chosen style of play fits when you got alley cats.
Yep.
When you get a bunch of house cats, it doesn't work the same. And I've said it before, I think you're seeing it at Texas right now. I don't know that top 100, top 50 kids are going to play that style effectively. I just don't.
865-200-5402. That's hard work. Yeah, that's hard work. That is some hard work. There's no doubt about that. And what Tennessee, maybe that's what Barnes determined, you know? I can't get prima donnas to throw it out every night. I mean, I don't know, Griff. Because the book on this guy was, you're getting a great recruiter, but he's not the greatest coach in the world. That was the book on him. It's like the total opposite of what we saw. I mean, it's been a complete upside-down world so far.
Yeah, I'm still from the school of thought that I don't have to have a one and done or need a one and done. Just give me top 75 or top 100. It's a 3 or 4 year player, and then maybe it's got a different story so far for this season is what I'm looking at.
That's right. Yeah. I'm staying above my skis here as somebody because I don't want to throw undue pressure on these kids. Let's go back to our phones. It's really fun to watch. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hey, Tony. How you doing tonight?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for calling.
Great. You know, you were just talking about that, how Rick Barnes is not a great recruiter or the book on him, he was a great recruiter, but not a great, you know, coach. But we're seeing the product on the floor every night. Is this not fun to watch?
Oh, it's,
I mean,
it's shocking.
Kids, I mean, it's just awesome to watch what we're seeing on the court with these young kids, you know. And I think, you know, when we came out with Donnie Tindall, I think, you know, we had some kids get shied away from our program, but I think things are going to change. I think they're seeing a coach that's respected, that the kids play hard for him. You see that. He gets the most out of all these kids, you know, and it's fun to watch. It's a breath of fresh air.
It really is. It's been, you know, this fan base deserves us, you know. They really
absolutely
do. And we relate to this. People here, anybody's favorite football team is 85s among them still to this day because those guys overachieved. Those
Absolutely.
Guys overachieve, man. And as a fan, you can relate. I mean, I just know from my fandom that any kind of unexpected success is always more welcome, is always especially on the heels of that football season. I mean, this was a breath of fresh air, and who would have thought it?
Right, and two, you got to give credit to the whole coaching staff.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they really do a great job with these kids.
Yep.
Fundamentals has improved dramatically. Hustle has. Every aspect of the game has turned up, and we're starting to see the fruits of the labor of this coaching staff. We really are.
I'm totally blown away, shocked. I was wrong. What can I say?
That's great.
I'm glad to be wrong. Hey, I'm 1,000% glad to be wrong, man.
That's right. Well, I think greater things are going to come, and here's hoping for a tournament bid. I really think we're on our way. I'm pulling for these guys and this coaching staff. They've done a fantastic job.
If you're seeing this tonight, man, they made a believer out of me, because this. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. The league is just so soft, and I'm with both of you guys. You guys are kind of all. We're all singing off the same songbook, which is. To me, any postseason play that these guys get will be a bonus in my world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt they're ahead of schedule. And one thing, and this is something we've discussed some, Tony, on this show and the other shows, I think the whole great recruiter, average floor coach stuff is really just a product of Barnes's last few years at Texas. Because, I mean, you go back over the real expanse of his career.
Yeah.
I mean, find somebody that says he wasn't a good floor coach at Providence.
Yeah.
Find somebody that says he wasn't a good floor coach at Clemson. I mean, I think that's the expanse, and that's the Kevin Durant effect is, oh my God, he had Kevin Durant from 1 year and didn't win anything. Well, yeah, but he sandwiched the 1 year he didn't go anywhere with Durant with like a Final Four and two Elite Eights.
865-200-5402. Griff, do you have a thought before we go back to the phones, and then we'll continue our conversation here?
No, I'm just reflecting on the game and some little things that really stood out.
Yeah, go ahead.
That by the since we've been following like we have the show.
Yeah,
been trying to pay more attention and even the substitution pattern now, it seems to flow even better. That if someone's not playing as well. It's like, okay, we've got limited Lou. We could put him in for a few minutes. And then if things don't go well, we can substitute back out and get Grant in. And the thing with Hubs, if it's not going well with him, you've got a substitution and with your guards as well. It just seems to really be flowing well that you don't see a downgrade when your substitutes come in. And that's a concern with a lot of teams in the SEC. Is the talent level drops off when you go deep in your bench. And you really haven't seen that effect with this Tennessee bench this season so far.
You know what I think is really interesting is how when you watched how agenda-driven Auburn looked tonight, you guys were talking about just in terms of their kids, I'm getting my shot. Despite the fact that Barnes hasn't been, I don't know what the term is, but there hasn't been a ton of consistency all year with who plays and who doesn't, and that seems to come and go, but there's not a lot of backlash with that with this team, and everybody's pretty accepting of the way it's been done right now, which is fun to see. It's kind of refreshing to see this.
Well, I think that what that reflects on is the character of the kids he's recruited.
Yeah, I think that's right. And seven guys scored the first 20 points tonight, which I made a note of for the blog tomorrow. Seven guys scored the first 20. That's pretty damn good. And here's the thing. Hubs didn't exactly bring his A game tonight. Now, he ends up with 11. And he ends up as, one of Tennessee's top scorers. But, hey, at the end of it all, that's a pretty good effort by the Vols. I mean, Williams has 17, Schofield tonight with 18, who's 3 of 4 from three-point land tonight. I mean, the guy is playing with so much. These onions are dragging the ground right now, Griff.
Yeah, they're backing off of him. And now
and letting him shoot.
The report was to let him shoot. And then he just buried it. They just continued to let him shoot, and he continued to bury the shot.
Did they scout? I mean, what are you doing? Let's go back.
He's close to 40% now. I mean, with the Knights effort, he's close to 40%, which is not a bad rate.
No.
I just can't believe that Griff took a shot at NutraSweet Lou.
What did you call him, Griff?
Limited Lou. That's my nickname for him.
Back to the, I hate to hear what you call me behind my back.
He's limited, but in a good way. I mean, that's what I mean with that descriptive adjective as far as being limited. I say that he knows his role and plays within his role, but he's limited on what he does offensively. I mean, let's face it, but
yep.
He plays his role well.
Yep.
And the guys have bought in, I think, around him, and he's showing some leadership, which they need. I mean, they got, you know, a graduate transfer, and then Hobbs is it as far
yep.
as seniors. So they've got to be able to, look at these older guys for leadership. And I think Lou in the last couple of weeks has taken on that role more than he had earlier in the year.
We're going to go back
to our phones. That's really it for experience.
No, that's exactly right.
I mean, Phillips and Schofield played some. I mean, that's pretty. I mean, as far as any meaningful experience, Hubs and Evans are it with Mostella being gone.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402 is our number. I hate to hear what Griff says about me when I'm not around. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, John Sweet. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Welcome in.
Isn't like calling him Limited Lou like saying when somebody asks you what a girl looks like, you say she's got a really nice personality.
Great personality. She's got a great personality.
Lou's got a great personality. Hey, let me ask you a question, or maybe Griff. Why did Auburn not press the entire game?
Griff, why didn't? Because they couldn't score. I mean, that's the deal. You can't get in it when you can't score. You can, yeah. You know, when you're throwing up all that crazy stuff, and Tennessee's effort is as good as it is early. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, I think they shot 28% first half. So they can't. I mean, if you're shooting 28%, you don't have time to set up.
Yep.
And set your press when you're missing shots. Now, when they made shots, I don't know why they didn't go to that earlier as well when they're making shots. They did make some shots as well until the end. And I mean, who knows what could happen if they would have pressed the entire game from the onset. But I don't understand it.
It seems like they pressed and then they pressed initially and then once the first pass came in, they just let them go and let them get set up. I don't never play basketball. I have no idea. You know, I tell you, I think I might have said it to you last year, last call-in show, that I thought they'd win and win big there. Against Mississippi State, who coaches Mississippi State? I'm confused for a second. They're having a brain fart. Is that Ben Howland there?
Ben Howland, that's correct.
Well, Tony, we should beat that team. Why shouldn't we beat
that team? Yeah, it's a sweep that's on the road and, you know, the whole thing. And it's just hard to beat people twice in a row. It's just hard to beat people twice in a season. It just is. And you know what? It's semi-difficult to win on the road in this league. Look at what Ole Miss did to Mississippi State tonight.
Oh, Tony, let's go. Let's go. They're going to beat that team. Come on now. They're going to beat that team. They're on a run here. I mean,
Wow.
Even up. Do you
I'd love to hear that.
Barnes or Ben Howland? I mean, let's go. Why not get behind the kids? Let's go.
I'm behind the kids. I just don't want people to get set up because I'm with Hatfield. Anything you do over a winning season, you've accomplished what I want to see them accomplish this year. Anything else is gravy. And I love gravy. We all love gravy. I'm for it. Don't get me wrong.
Hey.
I just don't want to set this up so that if it doesn't happen or they go on a two or three game skid. Look, basketball is not football. It's a long season, like Kentucky right now. Kentucky was a monk shot away from losing three in a row. If they can lose three in a row, we sure as hell can lose three in a row. So you just got to relax. Let the game happen. Let the season come. That's what I'm talking about.
Well,
it's a long season, man.
Wouldn't you call this a seven-game tournament, basically, for us here, these last, what, seven or eight?
Sure. You got to play. Every game's big. Every game's big.
Right.
Every game's
Correct.
Big. And that's all.
Let's get them. Let's go.
Why not?
All right, I'll jump off. I know you're only on for an hour. So
thank you, brother. Thank
good,
you.
Buddy.
Every game is big. Back to our phones we go, 865-200-5402. And in case you're just joining, Ole Miss tonight, like a grape. And I mean like a grape, busted Mississippi State wide open this evening. They beat them 88-61 in Oxford. And Ole Miss, all of a sudden, 4-5 in the league, 13-9 overall. And there you have it, sports fans. Just an absolute great busting as we get ready to go back to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Garza Law Firm. Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
How you guys doing?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I never thought I would cheer for Kentucky. And when I first flipped it over after our game tonight, and I saw that Georgia had them down, I pulled up the SEC standings, and I see Georgia sitting there. They were at 4-3 or 4-4, and I'm like, I think we're better off if Kentucky goes ahead and knocks them off. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I guess you can start. If you're one of these, we're going to the NCAA tournament people, it's time to start thinking like that. And you know what? These guys have made this season that interesting. Kudos to them. Kudos to them.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you what. And, Tony, I've told you this, I don't know if it was earlier today or yesterday, or day before, I don't know. My days kind of run together. But that I thought the three biggest games were tonight against Mississippi State and against Alabama. And I was only hoping, I thought we were going to lose both these road games. I was just hoping for a split. But I'll tell you what, after the way I saw Mississippi State get beat by Ole Miss tonight, you know, there's two ways you could go. They could show up pissed off and play great.
Yep.
Or they could just be destroyed. And I think we're going to win this next one.
If that happens, you can go ahead and punch in your reservation. No, I'm just kidding. It'd be a great win, and it would be an awesome week, and it'd be incredible to run out 6-7. It'd be an amazing thing. 6-7. Who would have thought that?
And you look, we got Ole Miss and Georgia at home next week.
Yep.
I'm telling you what, guys, we could very easily go 11-7. And there's a potential that we could go 12-6.
Sure. Sure.
I can't believe the job Rick Barnes has done with his team, especially with the loss of Fulkerson.
People are asking online, guys, when he's coming back, and I don't.
He's not redshirted. He's not coming.
That's what I thought. Yeah, he's redshirted.
Yeah, he's going medical redshirt.
That's the plan.
Yeah, it is, and it's going to be great because we're going to have him and Jalen Johnson back. You know, with the freshmen that we have coming in, and tell you, the future looks bright. We just need a big, bruising power forward.
Yep. But nobody we've played so far has made us pay. Go figure.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to lose to Kentucky, but then we got Missouri and Vanderbilt at home. We should win those. We're going to probably lose at South Carolina, but you never know with the way this team's playing. But there's no way I see that Johnny Jones' character beating us at
No. Although, you know, college basketball is so damn screwy. They all matter. They all count. And you have to play every game with that mindset. Because Tennessee snuck up on a few teams here.
And Tony, that's what I like about this team right now. It seems like we're playing it one game at a time. I know that's an old cliche.
Yes.
But this team seems to be playing it one game at a time. And we're just going out kicking ass right now.
Thank you for the call, and great talking to you. I don't put that LSU game. I put in the win column. The Missouri game I put in the win column. But everything else, guys, from here is up for grabs. Do we agree with that? Are there any other sure wins?
There are no sure wins.
Okay, that's my mentality.
I'm not sure the LSU game is just because I'm not sure Johnny Jones will still be coaching them then.
So, so somebody's asking me what my LSU helmet is that I have in the Raymere studio, and I want to explain to you what this is. I was snuck into an event when LSU and Tennessee played in, what year was that? 2001. And they were having a luncheon. And I walked in there at that time. I just snuck in. And it was a big kind of a LSU, Tennessee, $100, $150 a head. See Nick Saban and Philip Fulmer. You know, God, that was really exciting. And I sat at the, I sat down at this table and he was shaking everybody's hand and we just act like you belong, you know, you get up and go get some food and the whole deal. And they said, reach under the table. And if you've got a sticker there, you win the helmet in the middle. And I reached down there and pulled that sticker up and I went, and I was with a table of LSU fans and I went, huh. I didn't pay to get in here. Am I going to give this helmet to somebody or am I going to have a story to tell? Thank you. I have a story to tell. Some little kid didn't need that in his, some little waste of ticket little kid didn't need that.
If he wanted the helmet, he should have been at the banquet.
I needed it. He should have been, right, he should have been in that chair. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee basketball overtime on a night where the Volunteers go on the road. And let me see if Mark Griffin can help me. When did they trail Mark in that game?
Never.
Thank you. Back to the phones we go, and let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, it's Keelan Walter. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Well, just saying the two things in Keith Atfield, I'm so impressed with your basketball knowledge. I referee high school ball, and I enjoy it, and I'm a little older than you are, but the one thing that Tennessee's doing that I think that is so refreshing to see in college basketball, and it should be more in high school basketball, they're not in love with the three-pointer, and they're not in love with going to the hoop to dunk it. They're pulling up and shooting 10 and 12 and 15-foot jumpers. They're using the glass.
Yep.
They're sharing the ball, and good gracious, that's a recipe for winning. And that's what they've shown me this year, and that's what Barnes has preached to them, and they're so unselfish. And that's the way you win basketball at the high school or college level.
Let me give you an example of that, because the sequence ends. Tennessee's, Auburn's on a mini run, and they're kind of trying to get back in the game. Seven minutes left, 8 minutes left, something like that. Tennessee makes an extra pass and gets the ball to Bowden wide open on the wing. He shoots a three. That's where you shoot threes.
Oh, of course, when you're open, yeah.
Yes. And but for them to look for him, not to pull up, not to take it to the rack, out of control, wow. Keith, this thing is, this thing's really fun to watch right now, man.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you know, also, I mean, anybody who wonders how fragile it is in college basketball and how much luck you need, hey, if UTEP wasn't out of scholarships 2 years ago, Jordan Bowden's not at UT right now.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point. But it was one of those things where you see them in that orange on the road and they're in sync. And it's so good to watch Williams know when he needs to go high post, low post, and know when he needs to, a little 5 foot runner he shoots or whether he needs to go in and get somebody in the air and kick it out. And they're just, it's fun to watch. It's what we like to see and knowing that a team's getting better.
If all sports were like that, I'd be down here every night doing a call-in show about what we saw on television. It's so easy to identify with this, you know? And I'm not picking on our fan base because they've been beaten up and beaten down in many sports and lied to and mistreated and fed in the dark and treated like mushrooms. But here's the thing. That's Keith. Keith, is that your smoke detector? What keeps beeping?
Don't hear anything.
Oh, something's beeping. Anyway, there it is. It just said it. Did you hear it?
I did not.
Really?
I didn't hear it on my end either.
You'll have to listen back to the replay. My point is, our fans yet haven't caught up to the level this team's playing at. And what I mean is just sheer numbers. Because the record doesn't look the team's playing like they're an 18-2 basketball team right now in that five-game stretch. Am I wrong? Am I seeing things?
No, I think they're definitely playing that well.
That's what they look like right now. Now, I don't know how long that continues. I don't pretend to know that. But whatever they're doing right now, it is working.
You can tell they trust each other.
And they trust each other.
Every player is not scared to throw to any other player. They sub. He's done. I think Griffin said that. You know, the subbing is excellent. You know, and they just, somebody's not playing really well for a stretch of 5 minutes, but switch Bone for Turner. It's incredible.
Are we going back to Keeneland, brother? Are we going back to Keeneland this year?
Yes, sir. Hey, right. The tickets go on sale this week.
Follow my blog. We're doing it again. We're going to do the bus trip in the spring.
Fantastic.
I want you there, brother.
Well, he did this bourbon trail, too, but, you know, that's...
Whoa.
Hatfield would do that with us.
He's speaking my language now.
That's exactly right. Hey, thanks for everything, man. Appreciate the show.
Thank you, brother.
Good to talk to you guys. Okay?
Thank you, brother. 865-200-5402.
He makes a good point, too, Tony, about the way Tennessee attacks offensively.
It's fun.
It's kind of like watching Bernard Hopkins fight. Nobody's used to guarding the 12 to 15-foot shot now.
That's, you know, Griff, you pointed this out in the midst of this run. When Hubs started finding those soft spots is when this whole thing just started happening, right?
Yes, I mean, they worked the ball around, and especially when they were playing a zone is what I was referring to, was able to get him in the middle at the free throw line and let him go to work and work on that 15-foot shot or 8-foot shot facing the basket. And even in the man offense or man defense tonight, being able to work the ball around, crisp passes and getting lost art is the 15-foot shot.
I mean,
people these days, I heard Coach Smith today, Sonny Smith, say they want to dunk or shoot a three-pointer. And that's not this Tennessee team. But one thing I wanted to add too, Tony, what's fun is I do this a lot in football, but I start paying attention to more teams that are playing elsewhere to see who's winning, who's a potential bubble team. And I'm hoping our fans are starting to do that now and seeing how we're doing within the conference, if we're moving up the ladder. That's fun.
Absolutely fun. Absolutely.
The West Coast. We haven't been able to do that in so many years now.
Amen.
To get ourselves in a position for the NCAA. I don't want to go there yet either.
Nope.
I want to see how we play at Starkville and then how we play against Ole Miss. After that, I'll be ready to talk about the NCAA if they can win those two. But at the same time, tonight, I'm still going to enjoy in the week that follows to see what these other so-called bubble teams or teams that are close to the bubble, how they're doing against teams that are ranked higher. Because that's what's going to come into play for Tennessee is these teams that are on the bubble as well, and how many they're available in the field to see if they've got room for a team like Tennessee.
Well, here's the thing about right now. Right now, there's about, I don't know, in any one time, especially in a year like this where everybody's beating everybody and people are winning on the road, and there's a bunch of teams out there with Tennessee's record. Now, granted, Tennessee's got a great RPI. But here's the thing. A lot of people are going to, there's probably 50 teams right now that feel like, hey, we're in good shape. And I don't know what Bruce Pearl was doing, talking with his team about we're positioning ourselves for the NCAA tournament before that game tonight. The only tournament that they're positioning themselves for is the BPI after tonight, the Bruce Pearl Invitational. That team is not playing postseason basketball. That team ain't playing nothing. I mean, that team sucked. What are they talking about? And he started out with, I mean, what was that about? Griff, did guys, when you played, did Don DeVoe sit there and go, now guys, we're positioning ourselves, let's not think about that. It's damn January, for crying out loud. What is he talking about?
Wasn't that bizarre?
Not at all.
Not at all, Tony. Matter of fact, it was Coach Speak. It was one game at a time, and you never, as a student athlete, you didn't focus. Now, you may look ahead on the schedule and see and look forward to certain games that are down the road, but when it came down to it, I mean, you knew you had to get past one game to see how you fared before you started talking about postseason. It was never past one game, and that was just drilled in your head from game one.
It was weird. It was like, and then they came out and they looked like they were, I don't even know. Like Keith said, Tennessee punched him in the mouth, and then they punched him in the. Like I just read a book about. I'm reading a book right now about. Oh God, the guy that took the dive against Cassius Clay. Who was it? Somebody help me out.
Sonny Liston.
Sonny Liston. I'm reading a great book about his death in Vegas in the late 60s, and I just read an awesome book about Ali Burbick, which was fought in the Bahamas in 1981. It was really a fight that did Muhammad Ali in cognitively. And in the book, it just talks about how, boom, boom, you just come out, you're just, you know, usually these heavyweights are filling each other out. Tennessee does not, they don't heavyweight. They go out, and they go right after people. They're like Mike Tyson when he was 19. And I said the night before we got started, they remind me of the first couple of Pearl teams. They play like their hair's on fire in this stretch. And it's fun to see. It is fun to see.
I mean, there's been no break in intensity. There's certainly not. You certainly haven't seen that.
Here's a number for you from Vol Esquire. Tennessee has the same record right now through the same number of games as Konzo Martin's team with the three NBA players on it against a much harder schedule. Now, granted, that team had a kick to finish, and their best ball was in front of them, but that's pretty telling. That's a pretty good number. I'll have to give you some credit there. That's a pretty good number. Let's go back.
Wichita and Virginia and that non-conference schedule, there wasn't a whole lot there.
Back to our phones we go, and Konzo's teams would have had trouble scoring the ball against this team right now. Scoring. What in the hell, what am I supposed to do with the ball if I don't score it? I score with a pencil. Anyway, we're going to do this for about 15 more, and then I've got to get some sleep because we've got a signing day spectacular available on the app. From it's the power of position and the throw game tomorrow from 10 until 2. And Griff, you were telling me that you'll be listening to me and tomorrow, and we'll be getting you to and fro. And isn't that a beautiful thing about the app?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you get to reach people that are outside the Knoxville area that just doesn't get a chance to hear you travel. And I try to listen to you when I'm traveling during that time period of the morning in Central Time or Eastern Time if I'm not in Knoxville. So it's really neat. Word's getting out more. And I'm looking forward till tomorrow. I've got a little drive time, and I'll be tuned in at 10 o'clock to see what UT does as far as finishing up this recruiting year.
My whole thing is I want to create a forum. Look, I don't have all the answers, never did. I get emotional sometimes. I got way emotional on Barnes. I love my Tennessee basketball. Not going to apologize for it. And I still would like to see some hustle on the recruiting trail, but it's cool. This is working cool. But I still would like to see some hustle. I'm not going to apologize for that.
Well, on a positive note, too, Tony,
yeah.
I think for the staff, maybe some of these kids are going to start answering the phone now that weren't before.
Absolutely.
They're seeing what can be done and development with the kids that come in, and they realize, you know what, this is the type of program I want to play for and play with high character kids. So I do think that's going to, that the staff is sleeping a little bit better, and they're probably getting their phone answered a little bit more than it was during the preseason.
So we're doing two things tomorrow, Griff. Tomorrow on the app from 10 to 2, we're doing the recruiting program, which is the Smoothie King Signing Day Spectacular from 10 to 2. We're going to have a buffet upstairs. We're renting the room out upstairs at Calhoun's, Pellissippi Parkway. It's going to be awesome. Tomorrow night around 8 o'clock Eastern, I got some music I'm teaching tomorrow after my four-hour extravaganza. I've got a couple lessons I'm giving. At about 8 o'clock tomorrow night, we're going to do something that we're calling Recruiting in the Raw. Recruiting Raw tomorrow night. And what that's going to be is that's going to be an honest discussion. Tomorrow, the Feel Good Show is from 10 to 2. Tomorrow night is when Cinco and myself, I'm going to try and grab X, and we're going to do a little autopsy here and talk about some of the guys that got away, some of the would-bes, could-bes. But you know what about the thing about signing? And Rick Barnes has shown this too. There are a ton of two-stars and no stars playing in the Super Bowl that are starting in the Super Bowl. So nobody knows. That's your bottom line. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Back to the phones we go. Let's get the next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. This is Twitter's wise old BHJ. How you doing?
Hey, brother. Got, welcome in, man.
Yeah, you know, you kind of hit on what my call is going to be about. I think it's maybe time to start admitting that maybe these basketball players are a little bit better than a lot of people were giving them credit for being. And I know, you know, Keith's been saying it for a year. I think we've got some pretty good basketball players out there. And, you know, they're not going to go pro on us after a year or two or three, probably. But I think
they're
good
blessing.
College right. basketball players who are going to get better.
I totally 1,000% agree with that. I mean, they're way better than I thought they ever would be. And I'll tell you something. The guy that's not there is one of the better players of the bunch, and that Fulkerson kid. I was shocked. I was shocked at how well he played when he played earlier in the year, and he's not there.
You know, and people have said, several people have said, we need a big, bruising power forward. Is he going to be better than Grant Williams?
Probably not.
I think it's time to quit talking about the kid being 6'5". I mean, he might as well be 6'9". I mean,
he's a force of nature.
Plays.
Well, his wingspan, his arms, he's so freaky.
You know, I think they probably could use a big five man, I think, more than anything. Mm-hmm. Somebody who can man up on the block a little bit better. Although,
yep.
I don't think Williams doesn't get just obliterated either by, you know, he had a guy, honestly, that kid from Kentucky, he had a nice game on mm-hmm. us, that Adebayo kid, but he mm-hmm. also hit, like, out of his mind from the foul line, which he usually doesn't. So his numbers were a little higher than they might have been had he had a normal free throw shooting game. But that guy's going to be a pro, and, you know.
But here's the thing. Bam and Williams faced each other in high school, and Williams won a championship on him.
Exactly.
Against a team that had about, I want to say, 7 or 8 Division I signees on it.
And Jordan Bone, I mean, the guy's numbers right now aren't just off the charts, but if you watch him play, he's not, you know, his shot's not going in. I think he's going to add some upper body strength, and that's going to help his finishing. And he doesn't do anything that really hurts you most nights. And he probably had against Kentucky 4 or 5 assists taken off by guys missing layup. And you know, I think that, and again, I'm not going to sit here and say that there's no grounds for any criticisms on recruiting, but I feel like, look at what we've got, and it's pretty good. I mean,
it's damn good. It's not pretty good, and I was damn wrong.
You know,
the minute I don't have the capacity to do that is the minute I'm checking out. The minute I don't have the capacity to say I'm wrong when I'm wrong.
I mean, I ain't trying to call you out either.
No, I don't care. You can call me out all day long. I deserve it. But here's the thing. I love how you're doing it. There's this guy named Orange Juice who came in here earlier and was getting belligerent with me, and I blew him up, and another guy I blocked about 3 or 4 people earlier. Because, listen, and I want you all to convey this message to these clowns. I don't do that. We don't have to do that. We can talk, and we can talk our disagreements out. We don't have to be belligerent. I'm not belligerent toward you. Don't be belligerent toward me. That's all.
You're right.
I mean, we need to start looking at these guys like they're good ball players, because these guys are good ball players.
I'm going to jump off here and go to bed out in beautiful Townsend, but you guys, thanks for doing this. And,
thank you, brother. God bless beautiful. Hey, God bless beautiful Townsend. Keep on picking and grinning. And Hatfield, you nailed it. You were right, and I was dead wrong. And I'm 1,000% glad to be dead wrong. 1,000%.
If you look at it, John, you know what probably the most impressive part going to me now, if you look at that recruiting class, is? Think about how big a recruiting class this freshman class is. And if you want to throw Turner in, because this is his freshman year, too. Name a bust in that group.
It's crazy.
Name a single guy of that right. 7 or 8 guy that you look at and you just go, there's no way that guy's ever going to contribute.
Like a John Winchester.
A John Winchester.
Like that guy can't play. Like, name me a guy.
Connecticut. Stanford, Connecticut.
Where was he, Mark?
Stanford, Connecticut.
Jerome Brown. I mean, we can run through a whole bunch of those guys.
Here's
Justin Albrecht.
Here's what's incredible. How many of the guys they signed? Six?
Fulkerson, Bowden, Bone, Williams, somebody, Johnson.
Somebody just said Alicia Dunk. I remember Alicia Dunk.
Alicia Dunk
from North Carolina.
No, Alicia Dunk came from a reservation,
no.
Right?
Didn't no, that was that's Vegas no. Davis.
Vegas
Davis was from an Indian reservation.
Thank you.
Dunk was from North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I may be wrong.